Before I go on to the topic, let me ask you one question first. Do you have any wish? Or when you were young, do you have any dreams? What would you like to be? Do you have any, Caleb? When you grow up, you want to be?
A soccer player.
Soccer player. I asked a few young men there, they say, I want to be an architect or engineer. I asked some young girl, a girl said, I want to be Batman. Very strange. Actually, I want to have superpower as well when I was young. So we have dreams. We have hope. So what would be our hope? What is your hope? 10 years, 20 years later, what would you like to be? Or if you look further down, what further down your life, 20 years, 80 years later, 100 years later, what would you want to achieve? Let us look at 1 Peter. It talks about our life. Blessed be, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 7, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us. He gave a new life to us. Begotten us means we have a new life. We were born. Because of Jesus Christ, he has mercy, abundant mercy. He gave us a new life. And what is this life? What's the purpose of this new life? Begotten us again to a living hope. Now, just now I asked, what is your hope on this earth? I want to be an engineer in this world. 10 years time, 20 years time. I want to be an architect. I want to be a Batman, which may never become true. We have lots of hope. And as we grow up, this hope dies. Now I grow up, I realize I don't need superpower. So the hope of having superpower is dead. The hope of being an architect may still go on, but maybe after 20, 30, 40 years, this hope of being an architect will die. It won't continue anymore. But God has given us new life to have a living hope. Living means it can grow. It won't die. So if you see a little boy like this, after 2 or 3 years, it may be like this. When I first know Timothy, he was about this or this height. Now, is it taller than me? I don't know. He's a living person because he grows in time. And in the same way, God gives you a new life. And this has a new hope. Not to become an engineer, maybe. Not become a doctor, architect. But what is this living hope point to? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, through this resurrected new life in us, we can come to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We have hope in so much thing. We want a big house. Once we got the big house, we realize the big house has some construction problem, maybe. Not perfect. We want a new car, but the new car will get old one day. It can't move, maybe. It will be out of fashion in the 2 or 3 years. Hope on this earth will fade away. But God gave us something, inheritance, that won't be fade away. That means God gave us something. Not in our mind. We just think of the thing of this world. I want this. I want a house. I want a beautiful wife. I want this. All on this world. All is temporary. But God gave us a new life, not for this temporary hope, but for a living hope for something that will not fade away, reserved in heaven. Thank God it's not on earth. If you have something on earth, what happens when there's an earthquake? If you build a new house when there's a flood, what happens to your house? It's gone. But reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, this hope, this inheritance, is for us, reserved in heaven for you, for us. God has something marvelous, which is eternal, which lasts forever. Very good. It only described here as inheritance. It's waiting for you, just for you, up there. And we spend so much of our energy on temporary things. If I promise you I'm going to buy you a fine dining 8 o'clock tonight, well, at 4 or 5 p.m. or 6 p.m., would you still go to Macca's or have some happy meal to spoil your appetite? No, you won't think of the chips. You won't think of the burgers. You will think of the fine dining waiting for you at that restaurant. So when you have a better hope in the future, then you won't put all your energy, all your money on the temporary thing, isn't it? You won't waste your money on chips. You won't fill your stomach with rubbish because there's something good waiting for you there. So we are the people kept by the power of God. So because of this, God protected us. How can we get that inheritance? It says through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the time. So through faith, we are going to get that salvation ready to be revealed. Full salvation means our mind, our body, totally being changed, getting us ready for that inheritance. So God prepared, used our time on earth to prepare us to get ready for that, let me call it, heavenly feast, or for that inheritance on earth. So why are we here on earth? We are here on earth not to live for the things temporary on earth. We are here on earth is the training time. God is refining our life, preparing you and me for that inheritance. You see what I mean? And yet, if we do not see that inheritance, we fighting with people all our life, longing and dreaming for the things temporary. But once you get it, it will go. Once you get this, it will fade away. So our whole life is not putting our aim, putting our goals on the things on earth just for 10 or 20 or 30 years. It won't last, my friend. God has something spiritual up there, inheritance. It won't fade away for us, reserved for you and me. So our whole life on earth is God preparing us to get that through faith. So let me put it this way. As if through faith, we are growing, growing, growing. Our lives change. Changing our whole life ready to accept the inheritance. If I give a car to you and you cannot drive, what's the good of you giving a car that you can't drive? Unless you learn how to drive first, isn't it? So our whole life on earth is learning, preparing us to enjoy the inheritance on earth. So God is preparing you, giving you challenges, giving you difficulties. And throughout our life on earth, this is a growing process. And what is that process begins with? Through faith. We started by faith And that God is just like helping. You remember the picture I've shown you just now? It starts with a seed.
This is your faith. But throughout all the changes on earth, your faith grows big by big. It may no longer, it doesn't look the same from here to here. It may be similar, this is faith. But faith grows much bigger. Oh, knowledge. Maybe holiness and love. So, well, we started with faith, but faith will help us to grow and get us ready for the inheritance in the
heaven, reserved in heaven. That's why Peter said, because those Christians at that time facing a lot of challenges, persecution from the Roman government. But yet, Peter said to them, in this you greatly rejoice. Yes, difficult time comes. Challenges comes. Someone may die. But throughout all this, now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You may fail. You may find suffering or pain in life. Various trials, many trials coming one after the other. And that the genuineness of your faith, God wants to test it. There is faith there. God is using his power to protect you for the faith to grow. When you started a fire, if you lighted a match, put it here, sometimes you worry about the wind will blow out the match. You protect the fire. Once it started, it will burn stronger and stronger. So God used his power to protect this growing faith. Throughout time, it will be growing. And that the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold. So God is using the environments, the difficult times, use all these trials to help us, our faith to grow, being much more precious than gold. In God's sight, that faith is wonderful. When God looks into that person, there is faith that he started to do work in you, to bless you, bless your whole life. Yes, difficulty comes, challenges comes, sadness comes, failure comes, and yet this faith continues to grow. Nothing can extinguish your faith. God is protecting in your life. Maybe you don't do well at school. Maybe you face difficult person, people around you. Why does he always complain about me? You are my enemy. God put enemies around you to help your faith to grow, to grow, to grow. Tested by fire. It doesn't feel nice. May be found to praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. One day, when this faith continues to change you, mold you, and you've been perfect, and you will receive praise, honor, and glory when he comes. So we ask ourselves, now, let me get the whole picture again. God gave us a new life. This new life is, our hope is not on this world. Our hope is not find a peaceful life, happy life on earth. God doesn't want us to put our hope on this world. Our hope is a living hope for the inheritance reserved for us in heaven. So when we are here, we look up there, we know why are we going through all these trials, failures, and yet I continue to grow in him. Because God wants us to prepare us ready to possess the inheritance that is reserved for us. That's why you are facing difficulties. That's why sometimes we fail. Sometimes we are grieved. Oh, I've done the wrong thing again. But God warned us our faith to be tested. This faith continue to grow, growing in faith. Now, this growing in faith doesn't, our faith does not, hey, I have faith, something, I can do this. I have faith, something will happen. No, this is not faith. Faith based on, faith always points to a person. I have faith, it will rain tomorrow. No, this is blind faith. You're hoping, you're guessing. But when I say I have faith, my faith points to someone I believe. My faith always points to God's words. When God say come, then I come. That is, I put my faith in Him. Let me repeat this. Faith does not point to my imagination, my hope. I want to be Batman. No. Not my wish come true. Okay? I believe I can be 2 meters tall. This is your belief based on your hope. You want to be two meters tall? No. You want. I want to be beautiful. I want to be strong. I want to be rich. You want. It's not your faith. Faith points to God Himself because He is faithful. When He promised you something, you put your faith in Him. Yes, because He says so. I believe Him. This is faith. Faith always points to someone who is faithful. Faith points to God. Faith points to how you respond to His call. When God speaks something to you, you respond to Him. So let us see how faith grew. How faith always grows up in our life. Remember, the apostles in Matthew, when Jesus walked by the lakeside and He saw Peter and Andrew, John, and said to them, Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now faith starts. Why? Because they respond to Jesus' words, follow me. Not because it started generate from themselves, it's a response to God. When God do something, I respond. When God started something, I respond. This is faith. Not I started something. I want this. No. God say something, I respond to it. Then that's faith. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed Him. Another example, in Matthew 9:9. Jesus saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax office, and Jesus said to him, follow me. Now, God's words, God's call, Jesus called, and He responded. Maybe you're sitting here, you hear God is speaking to you in your heart, and you respond, then faith starts. Follow me. And He arose and followed Him. Think about it. Did Jesus say, follow me? Being a fisherman is hard. Follow me. You can have a better job, better career, better pay. You have a better house. I give you a better boat. You can fish. No, He did not say anything to attract. I will give you something to attract them. Jesus said, follow me. As if He is the only reason for they to respond to Him. Jesus is not using benefits, profits. Follow me, then you can have this. Follow me, then I'll give you this. It's not a bargain. It's not a trade. Follow me. Now, let me use this. Before, in our life, we look for Can you see the words? We look for joy. We look for peace. We look for hope. But we always can't find the real joy and hope. We look for joy, but it's incomplete joy. We look for peace, but there in our life we can't find peace. In our life we can't find hope. But once we come to Jesus, once we met Jesus, then we can find the real complete joy in Him. We can find complete peace and real hope in Him. So without Jesus, my whole life as a fisherman, I find myself, I can find fish, but I can't find joy. I can make money by being a tax collector, but I can't find the real peace. People look down upon me. Yes, I'm rich, but my heart is empty. But once, when Jesus called them, they realized, once they follow Jesus, this is meaningless, this is my life, meaningless until I meet Jesus. Then I find my life is complete in Him. Then I can find all the blessing in Him. So follow me is when you respond to Jesus. Then you find your life complete. For those who have not accepted Jesus, your life is incomplete. Always emptiness in your life. Until you want to find your blessing, all what you want, until you respond to Jesus. It doesn't fit to anything else unless your life come to Jesus. And then you find completeness in Him. In other words, my life is for Jesus. That's why we follow Him. We respond to His call. When we respond to Him, sometimes this life, this faith, needs you to get out of your comfort zone. Remember when the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So, the first step is get out. Get out from your comfort zone. You may say, I was born in here. The house I live, the place I grew up, I love this place. Lord, you want me to get out? But I love here. To a country, where is that? Is it safe? Are the people friendly? Will they murder me, kill me, take away all my belongings? So many worries there. I will be vulnerable in those areas. People may harm me. They may be racist. What can I do? But when the Lord says, get out. Sometimes we want to stay in our comfort zone. Stay in so much, it becomes a cage. It becomes a prison for you. You are tied up in here. Some people do an experiment with an elephant. When the elephant was young, they put a chain on its leg and nailed the other end on the ground. So the elephant always walks around in this small area. But one day when the elephant grew up, it's still a small chain. Because the elephant, when they were young, they realized, oh, the chain is too strong. But as they grow up to be a big animal, they still think they can't resist that little chain. So you can use a small chain to tie up a big elephant because the big elephant get used to that little chain. Similarly, when we are tied up in our comfort zone, oh, I feel happy like this. I dare not say something. I dare not speak out. I dare not pray. I always want to stay in my comfort zone. So sometimes I ask you to do something. It isn't asking you to step out of your comfort zone. Get out. Do this. So I'm leaving next week. Share something. It's a challenge for you. But it's when you get out, what happens?
When we follow, respond to God's call to get out, blessing come along. I will bless you, not only you. You shall be a blessing to others. And to the all the families of the earth.
That means when we listen to God, when we get out from our comfort zone, blessing will come through you. Not only to you, but come through you to other people. So when you respond to God's call, you will experience the blessing of God. In another place, faith grows when you leave your comfort zone. Faith grows. When we look at the book of Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land, to the promised land, which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now, not just arise, get up and go over. And every place the sole of your foot, if you put your foot on that place, that God has given you. That means you won't, when, okay, I arise, no. Make some steps, go forward. I like the picture here. The sole of your foot will tread upon. That means when you put on this place belongs to you. Remember when the astronauts go to the moon? They leave a footprint on the moon, isn't it? That means I step my foot here. This belongs to, they put a flag there, America, okay? So they put a foot there. It means that I conquer this place. I overcome all the difficulty. I come to here. I make my way to the moon. So I put my foot on the moon, make my steps there. So when God called us, we respond to overcome all the difficulties. And then we can explore the richness of Christ in there. Another thing, when we look at Genesis, to possess. In Genesis chapter 13, and the Lord said to Abraham, after the Lord has separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Now when you follow God, and God brought him, when Lot has separated from him, Lot was a distraction to Abraham because he focused so much on Lot. Once God took Lot away from Abraham, suddenly he was free. And that God can show him all the vastness of the land. East, north, south, west. All the land. This is my blessing for you. When we are in Christ, when you follow, then you can explore God's blessing. It's laid up before you. For example, the whole Bible is God's words, God's blessing, God's promises open for you. Let you explore the Bible from Genesis, reading through to Revelation. Some of you are reading, try to read through the whole Bible, possibly finishing this year. So you are exploring the vastness of God's promises, knowing God. And not knowledge, but knowing His patience, knowing His love, knowing His kindness, knowing His mercy. You are exploring God's mercy and grace. So you lift up your eyes. Look. See. God wants to attract us. See how great I am. Come to me. Know me. Arise. Walk in the land through this length and its width, for I give it to you. So God wants us to explore and not stopping here. Oh, I've read Genesis. That's it? And you stop? No. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Arise and walk in the land to know the greatness of Him, to know His will, to know His character, to know His grace, to possess. Once you know it, as if you put your foot on it, you have a taste of it, you experience it. It will change our life. Respond to God even when we failed. In Jonah, in the beginning of Jonah, the book of Jonah, God said to him, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. God told Jonah to do it. Did he go? Yeah, he arise, but went the wrong way. He tried to hide. He doesn't want to do God's way. He go to the... this is where Jonah is. He should go to Nineveh, maybe on the east. But instead, he go to the west. Take a ship or boat and go to the west. Wrong way. But yet, taught him a lesson and bring him back to him. So God, Jonah, in the stomach of the fish, he prayed to God, and that God delivered him. What happens after that? In chapter 3, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. You see, again, arise, go to Nineveh. Arise, go to Nineveh. The message is the same. God's will has not changed. But if you reject it, you've gone the wrong way. Yes, you failed. But if you repent, God can restore you and you can still serve Him. It's different from here, but that means God gave him a second chance. How great it is that even though we failed sometimes, and God gave us a second chance, still, arise, go to Nineveh. God wants to use him to preach the message. God's love for the people in Nineveh did not change. And God's call on him did not change. Arise, go to Nineveh. How about Paul or Saul in the New Testament? So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? At that time, Saul was persecuting the church, the people there. And the Lord appeared to him in Damascus in a vision, and he was knocked down, and when God restored him, the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Arise and go. So yes, he failed. He has done the wrong thing, but God forgave him, and God's will on him has not changed. Arise and go. Remember, I didn't put it here, when David commit adultery, and there was a new baby born, and God punished, the judgment come, and the baby died. What happened did David do? He was praying to God, grieving for the baby. But when he realized, when God took the baby, what did David do? David arose from the ground. Arose from the ground. So arise arise and go. David rose from the ground. How about Peter, when he denounced the Lord three times? I don't know you, three times, when the Lord appeared to him. By the Lake of Galilee, in John chapter 21. You follow me. Follow me. What happens to the other apostle? Don't care about the others. You follow me. In Matthew chapter 4, follow me. After Peter denied Jesus three times, when he came back, when the Lord restored him, what happens to John? What happened to the other one? Forget about others. You follow me. The call is there. Respond to the call. Even if you failed, if you failed many times. Being a disciple does not mean you are successful all the time. We are weak. Sometimes we fail. We make mistakes. But the most important thing is we learn from our mistakes. And then God restores us. Arise, arise, arise. In John chapter 5, verse 8, there was a person by the lake of, by the pool. And he was paralyzed. And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And again, rise. You may say, "But he was paralyzed. How can he walk?" But when Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," do you think he can rise? But he did. So the thing is, do you think when I say to that person, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," I use the same words, do you think that person can rise? No. But when Jesus said, "Rise," then he can rise. Because when Jesus said, "Rise," that rise is not just sound waves. In that word, rise, there is spiritual power equipped, enclosed in that word. So let me put it an example. When I say, if I say this back, "Move, move," does it move? No, because it's just sound. But when Jesus said, "Move," that move, why? Because there's power coming with that word as well. So when people say "move," it won't move. But when Jesus says "move," there's power in his word. Move. Rise. So when people say to you, "Rise," nothing happens to you. But when God says to you, "Rise," then even though you are weak, even though you have not stand up ever in your life, then when Jesus says "rise," strangely, miraculously, you can rise. So even though you are weak, but when he is saying to you, then you can do it. Because when he asks you to do something, he will equip you with power at the same time. If I ask Jessica, "Buy me that house," I didn't give her any money. How can I buy? I'm poor. But when I say to Jessica, "Buy me that house," and at the same time I handed her a check, $1 million check, no problem. Then who can take the check and buy the house? You see? So when God says something to you, he's giving you power. And with it at the same time. So you may be weak, but when he speaks to you, there is power in it. Just like Lazarus, when he was dead 3 days, in the cave. Now when he had said this thing, Jesus cried out aloud, was, Lazarus, come forth. If I stand outside the cave, Lazarus, Lazarus, come out, come out. Of course, I won't do that. If he comes out, I'll faint. Lazarus, come forth. Because my word doesn't have power. Lazarus is dead. But Jesus has the resurrected power in his words. His words is not blank check. It's not about how dead your body was. As long as Jesus say to you, do it. He gave you the power, resurrected power. You know, God's words, the resurrected power that bring Jesus up from the grave. The same power, when he asks you to do something, he will equip you with the power, because this is the resurrected power in his words. God can use his words to raise Jesus from the dead. Jesus can use his word to raise Lazarus from the dead. God can use his words to change you. Maybe you are in bondage to something. I can't do it. No excuse. When the Lord, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, this is it. I can't. Did Lazarus say something? Lazarus, come out. I don't know how he can come out. But nobody say, I can't. When the Lord gives you command. Because when he told you to do it, he commands you to do it, he gave you the power. And that power is resurrected power. Even though you are a dead person, you are in bondage, even in bandage, you can do it if he calls out to you. So you can see death, you can see weakness, you can see failures cannot stop us to put our trust in him. All these trials come into your life. All these challenges come into your life. Why? To test our faith. So our faith grows when we make the first step. Our faith grows up more if we get out from our comfort zone. Our faith grows if we arise and explore. Our faith grows if we lift up our eyes and walk. Our faith grows, not focusing on our failure, but arise and doing God's work and doing God's will. Our faith grows even when you feel you are weak. Our faith grows when you think we have failed. Our faith grows when we respond to his call. Nothing can stop us. This is my message to you. I hope this encourages you. Yes, God has inheritance for us. He wants to change our life to possess something eternal. Not for this world, not for getting something from this world, but something for eternal. So he allows difficult times come to our lives. We fail, we cry, we grieve. But when we grow up, we are ready for that inheritance. So may our faith grow in this. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, for you love us, give us the new life, give us a living